All right, everybody, what's going on? This is MC Till with everybody's hip hop in the boom bap chat. Very, very excited. This is episode, I don't know, 5,000 and something. I'm not sure what we're up to, but it's going to be a great episode. Before we jump into the episode, though, please know that everybody's records here in Cincinnati is the place to be. If you're looking for some dope music on vinyl, CDs, cassettes, posters, all kinds of weird random stuff, vinyl record players. And I don't know what happened to this dude, but some dude came in there this week and gave his entire or sold it, his entire hip hop collection on CD. There's like a 300 CDs in there. I'm not lying. There's boxes and boxes. There's so many they can't even put them out. So you just have to go in there and be like, hey, can I look at the hip hop boxes? And they got some great gems in there. I got a few yesterday. I'm going back to get a few more. So make sure if you can't get there in person, check them out online at everybodysrecords.com. And also, if you don't have our book, you should have our book. It's called The Boom Bap Review, and you can get it online at Amazon. Amazon has everything in the world. You can get it there or boombapreview.com. So check that out if you have not checked it out yet. All right. Our guest tonight, oh man, is an amazing guest tonight. Hands down, one of my favorite producers out right now. His sound is jazzy, it's laid back. It's kind of like what I would imagine Diggable Planet sounding like in 2024. It's super dope. He's recently put out an incredible piece of art called 74 Out of Time, featuring a host of MCs. Got A1 in there, Ill Camille in there, Vic Spencer, Pink Sifu, Billy Woods, The God Fahim, Fly Anakin, Coolie High, and many, many, many more. It might just be my favorite jazzy production since the era of Diggable Planets and De La Soul and the Native Tongues and all that. So it's a remarkable project, and we're going to jump into that and a little bit more right now. So please join me as we welcome to the Boom Bap Chat, the one and only Old Burger Beats.
Woo! Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. Heck yeah, man. Thanks for
What
being
an
here. I'm glad.
introduction.
Hey, man. Hey, you got to do a good introduction for a great guest. So, it's only right, man. Yeah. And I appreciate you being here. Big time difference. So if we had done it at 10 p.m. my time, you would have been had to wake up at, the break of dawn, the middle of the
Yeah.
night. So I'm glad we were able to make this work. So, man, so welcome
Same
to the
here.
show and thanks for being
Thank you
here,
so
man.
much. Yeah,
Yeah.
glad to be here.
Yeah. Before we jump into the album, I am curious, man, and I know you've talked about it before, but for those that don't know, where does the name Old Burger Beats come from?
Yeah, it's very similar to my born name. My name is Ole Birger, and I kind of quickly found out that if I try to pronounce it in English, it's Old Burger. So that's where it came from. And this was like early, like Odd Future era, I think. And there are people naming themselves just Hodgy Beats and things like that. So I think I just put beats to the end of it just to make it super clear what I'm doing here.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's the Old Burger Beats. And where are you in the world?
I'm in Oslo in Norway.
Norway in the house. You are
Yeah.
our first guest from Norway, so
Okay,
congratulations.
I'm proud to be there.
I think maybe I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. I mean,
Yeah.
we've had thousands of episodes apparently, but yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, so this new album 74 Out of Time. I want to chat a little bit about all kinds of things, but like let the album be kind of the nucleus that holds it all together.
Yeah, that's good.
First of all, the tempo is 74 beats per minute, right? Throughout the entire album.
Yeah.
Which on a surface it might be like, well, that's gonna get boring because that's not very fast. There's no change of pace. What was your thought process? Like, did you go into it knowing that it was gonna be 74 throughout the album? Was that the concept going into it?
I think it became the concept after I had like five or six beats in that tempo that fit
Hmm.
this aesthetic, I think. So, yeah, it started off with maybe like two beats, the Peace track and the Change the World track. Those were the two first beats I made for this album. And they were both in the same tempo, and I performed it live a few times, and it was so easy to like combine the two. Just to blend them together in a very smooth way.
Yeah.
So I think it sort of became a concept to make it like one album that sounds like one song in a way.
Yeah. And you said the two songs, was it Freeform and How I Live? Is that what you said?
No, it was Peace and Change the World.
Oh, peace, sorry. Peace and Change the World. Yes. I was thinking of those two songs. because those are the first two songs on the album, Freeform and How I Live.
Yeah, that's
And
right.
I feel like those, like the transition between those two really set off how the rest of the album is going to sound. Because a lot of
Yeah.
albums are, could be really dope songs, but they're dope songs. And like the song fades and the next one fades in, and you know clearly, like this song's over. Now, this song in this album, it flows really well. Songs don't really fade like that. Like they kind of fade into each other, and it's just kind of a continuous thing. Is that was that inspired? Like, are there other albums that you've listened to? You're like, oh, I really like how that flows.
Not in hip hop, I think, or there's plenty in hip hop as well,
Yeah.
but I'm more inspired by something like a jazz album with only two songs on the full album, or
Yeah.
yeah, something like A Love Supreme by John Coltrane or things like that. So it's sort of like there's four tracks on that album, but you don't really know what you're listening to.
Yeah.
Is this the first song or the third song? It's supposed to be like one full listening experience from beginning to end. But
Yeah.
there are albums like that as well, like Donuts is a good example, I think.
Yeah.
And but it's
Yeah.
supposed to be as smooth as possible. You're not supposed to know if you're on track one or track seven, I think.
Yeah, and I feel like I was you really hear that in the first two. I mean, throughout the album, but the first two have a even the drums, the kick, and the snare. The first two kind of have a very similar feel, and just it kind of sets the mood really well.
I think they're in the same key even. So
Okay,
it's yeah, it's very there's no gap between the two at all.
yeah. In the first one, Freeform, there's almost a minute before someone starts rapping.
Yeah.
And was there an intention behind that?
Yeah, I wanted to like establish the sound of the beats first. And I think it's one of my favorite beats on the album as well. It's one of the last ones I made, and it feels like the kind of sound that I'm trying to make the last few years, I think, where there's a lot of like bright percussion sounds. There's a lot of like these blue electric piano chords, very like yeah, sound of melancholy, and yeah. So that's the kind of music I'm making lately. So I wanted to like introduce that sound before I start introducing the different MCs.
You know, it remi your album reminds me of an album that came out last year by Beneficence. The Jazz Spastics produced it, and it was he has a lot of features on that album. So he's rapping on it, but he has a lot of guest features. And what reminds me that why I think the two are similar, I mean, both are jazzy, but on that album, like every time a guest feature comes on, I'm like, oh, it would sound dope for Jazz Spastics to do an entire album for this guest MC. And I felt that way like throughout the album. And I feel that way with your album. Like every time a new MC comes on, I'm like, oh, they would sound dope having a full album, you know, with Oberger beats. Like they all just sound really good on it. There's not anyone that kind of, you know, sounds out of place. And I feel like Pink Sifu, especially, I feel like his voice and his cadence and what he does, he kind of raps, but kind of just he does what he does, you know. And shout out to him because he's got Cincinnati roots.
Yeah, he's
But
one of my favorites as well. It's like having Prince on your song almost.
So I was curious to know about like the guests that you had on there. Were you intentionally thinking about how they were going to sound on these particular beats?
Not really. They got to choose the beats themselves. So I gave each of them like 10 songs to choose from. Yeah, but at the same time, I tried to like choose the tracks that I actually hear each MC on. So sometimes that had like weird results as well. For example, Billy Woods, I initially sent him the Freeform beat. I thought that would be a perfect match, like a more like dark vocal on a beautiful soft beat. But yeah, people say that Black Sabbath is a standout track on the album, so I guess he has an ear for that.
Yeah, I love that beat. The
Yeah.
horns on there, those horns, man. It did you was there sampling involved on this
Yeah,
album? I
both
thought
the
so, but
yeah.
in this day and age, sometimes I think something sampled and they're like, no, that's not sampled. It's like, what? So cool.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think that's another reason I
both
love this album
sampling
so much.
and live instruments.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I imagine the horns on that were sampled.
Yeah, but it's a
Okay.
combination. There's Christopher Eichram, who plays trumpet, and Sigurd Drogen plays trombone, and Guy Sion plays saxophone, and my little sister, Nepalin, she plays flute on that track as well. So there's a whole
Awesome.
lineup of instrumentalists here from Oslo.
That's all. You say your little sister plays flute on it?
Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah. How old is your sister?
She's 4 years younger than me, so
Okay.
we released a Neo Soul album together as well. So that's like required listening after this
Heck
album.
yeah. What's that album called?
It's called I Am Leaving. It
I
was
Am
released
Leaving.
on HHV Records a few years
Okay.
back. Yeah,
Okay. Right on. Yeah, I definitely have to check that out. All right,
that's
so the album, if you're just tuning in, you're like, what's going on? The album is 74 Out of Time by Oldberger Beats, and it has a bunch of MCs on it. You can find it just about anywhere you listen to music, and obviously go to the Bandcamp, Coal Mine Records, right? Or go to Coal Mine Records, buy the vinyl. Vinyl's dope. Got we'll talk about the merch. I'm gonna make a note to talk about the merch, but they got deck cards. If you want to do some grocery shopping, they got like bags you can buy. This is a lot of dope merch. But anyway,
Thank you.
the album, yeah, you're welcome. The album starts out Freeform with, is it Logie? Is that how you say his name?
Yeah,
Logie, I
Logi.
thought Logie's so dope.
Yeah.
Logie and Ill Camille, who's also phenomenal.
Yeah.
Then that transitions really smoothly into How I Live with Lil B and Vic Spencer. Another
Yeah.
dope joint. They sound great. And then one of my favorite MCs, A1, next joint comes on for the family. What's he say on there? Oh, he says something to set it off that I was gonna ask you about, but I can't remember what it was. He
Yeah, I
just
think
had
it's
a phrase.
the
Yeah, Oldberger on a slow burner. Yeah.
old
Yeah.
burger on
Just A1 is just like jazzy like that. So
a slow
A1 does his thing. And then we got the Daybreaks interlude. And Daybreaks, that was an album that you did a while
Yeah.
back.
Yeah, I think it's 5 years ago, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
And it's sort of a reference to the intro on that album. And there's a lot of tracks from the Daybreaks album that was initially made for this album as well. But this has been in the works for like 10 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, some beats kind of got lost on the way.
Yeah. What was the Daybreaks an instrumental album?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, yeah. Dope.
So I'm
Yeah,
always
it's
working on these like long-term projects with all the rappers and things like that, but it takes longer to complete. The instrumentals I can put out more easily, but this has been a year-long process of getting all the rappers involved and things like that.
Yeah, it's amazing how long it takes to do a project like this, 'cause we're doing a project that's not even as many songs or as many rappers, and I feel like it's taking years to just get like this one freaking song done. We have one song to go. We just
Yeah,
can't get it done. So
it
sometimes it takes a while.
does.
Word. It's dope, dope interlude, Daybreaks, and then Pink Sifu comes in with Running. He sounds just so good over that. Ill Camille has the title track Out of Time. I didn't know Ill Camille before this album, so I appreciate her being on there, because I
Yeah.
went back and listened to more of her work. I was like, man, this is amazing. Can you tell us a little bit more about Ill Camille?
I think she's kind of a legend on the LA hip hop scene, but always in the underground, I think. But I think she was involved in Kendrick Lamar first projects. So yeah, she has a lot of connections in both the mainstream and underground hip hop, I think. And
Yeah.
she's put out some great albums on a few European labels as well. She has an album on Jakarta Records. Which I put out dialogue with the Vuyo on as well. So yeah, there's some overlap in our label history at least. And
Yeah, is it?
she's one of my favorite female MCs and one of my favorite MCs, period. She's great at writing. She has this unique voice, I think. It reminds me of like Bahama Diaz style. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's
Yeah.
good stuff.
That's that. Did you meet her through the label workings?
No, just I sent her a message on Instagram, I think.
Oh,
Yeah.
dope. Instagram bringing people together
Yeah, absolutely.
and tearing people apart at the same time.
Probably. Yeah.
Oh, side note on social media. I know that you're on Instagram some and posting about music and vinyl records that you get. Do you, I know some people have very passionate views on social media. Do you have a view? Do you enjoy being on social media? Hate it?
Yeah,
What are your
at
thoughts?
least Instagram is like the perfect platform for me because it's really specialized to my interests. So if I open the app right now, it's some spiritual jazz album from the 70s. That's the first thing that's going to pop up. I mean, there's upsides and downsides to the algorithms, but for me, that's really inspiring. And it's a good platform to promote my music as well, I think. I don't know. I wish kind of that the streaming services would allow us to get more in touch with our listeners as well. It's kind of a shame that I have to go from one platform to inform about the music and then hope that it gets showcased on Spotify as well. But Spotify, I have very little opportunities to actually talk with my listeners.
No, I feel that for sure. Yeah, I feel like social medias can be great for like connecting with other creative people, connecting music. Not so good for like politics and differences. It's like so much gets lost in the, the nonsense of it. But anyway, yeah, but I like your post. There's a jazz, not jazz. There's some Instagram account that posts like the original sample. And then you have to swipe over to see. Do you know about, you know what I'm talking about?
No, not really, but I've seen a few of those videos. I think Tracklib posts a few of those.
Tracklib does too. This one specifically on Instagram, they'll show you the album cover of the original sample and they'll play the original sample. And then you swipe over and it'll show you a picture of the MC or the album that the MC used it on, and it'll play, that song. And
Nice.
so I have so much fun like listening to it, be like, oh, I know that sample, but I can't remember who, who sampled it, and I gotta think, and then swipe it over. So yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
It's the best feeling when you recognize the sample, and yeah, especially if you put on a random record that you found for $2 and then there's a hip hop jam on it.
Man, I forget the song, but it was one of the beginning song, first few songs on The Shining by Smith and Wesson. And the sample, like I was listening to the person that posted the account that posted the sample. I was like, I have no idea what this is. It was amazing. Like, it's amazing. I mean, some samples are like, oh yeah, that's what that is. But then others are like, I don't, how do they hear that? And how do they pull that out? Like they filtered it like crazy. So like everything was out except like the bass line. But yeah, it's the ear. How do you hear samples? Like when you're listening to like jazz records or whatever, are you listening for samples? Are you listening to enjoy it? And if a sample comes on, you like jot it down.
Yeah, it's the last. Earlier in my career, I was buying records just for sampling. But now I'm buying so much records for listening that the samples show up eventually. And usually it's like early weekends or after work on a weekday. And I just maybe I'm reading a book and put on a record just to relax or enjoy the music. And then suddenly I hear something that kind of sounds like me in a way. And it's usually some of the same instruments, and it's often like a texture of bright percussion. I think Art Ensemble of Chicago often call it like little instruments. It's like undefinable, like sprinkling bright crushed percussion sounds. So that's what I'm looking for. Often in combination with the electric piano or organ or like bell sounding chords. I think that makes for good hip hop.
I agree. I agree. I love the samples you pulled out and the sounds you pulled out on this
Thank you so
album.
much.
So you've no have you noticed, I think you said this over the years, as you began to listen to like music to enjoy it more than like listening just to find the sample, have you found that approach actually is helps you in your sampling technique and creating music?
Yeah, maybe. I think it's more inspiring, at least. It's more like a treasure hunt kind of. and I end up with a much better record collection. There's less
Yeah.
like random vice and more, much more refined. And yeah, I had to be like super concentrated about the way I make music as well, because now I work a 9-to-5 job, and yeah, maybe I have some energy to make music like 2 nights a week, perhaps, and I one of the days in the weekend. So then I feel like I kind of have to make good music for those short periods,
Shot
just
clock's on, man.
yeah. Just to make me motivated for the next session and keep it positive in a way. So yeah, I think I'm more accurate in the way I pick samples, and I think I'm more in some way I'm following the same recipe many times, at least for each project. That's what I do, and then I often end up with a result that I can put on an album as well. So. Yeah, it feels like I've refined my process in a way.
That's awesome. Do you ever make a beat where you're just like, I spent all that time and I don't like this beat at all?
I think it always feels like that's the same night. And then I listen to it the next day and feel better about it. And oftentimes I can go back to the beat like 2 years later and pick it up again, and it sounds pretty good. So, yeah. And often I tend to like the beats that was hardest to make. So if it's like all these micro chops of samples that was super hard to put together, that ends up being my favorite beat on the album. just it doesn't matter how good it sounds, it just feels good because I know it was difficult to make.
That's interesting. For me, when I'm making a beat, like the harder it is and the longer I work on it, the more I think, I shouldn't be working on this anymore. Like if it doesn't come together quickly, I'm just like, ah, maybe I'm just not patient enough. I don't know. But
It could be. I can understand that as well. I have plenty of examples of that feeling.
all right. So we're at Black Sabbath now. So Out of Time is the title track by Il Camil. Super dope. Then Black Sabbath, which on any given day might be my favorite beat on the album. There's about 16 other beats on there that I might say that about. You got Billy Woods and the God Fahim. I don't think they've ever been on a song together.
I don't think they
I
have
don't think
either.
so. What was your thought process behind putting those two very, interesting MC, like they have a very distinct sound. What was your thought process putting them together?
It was kind of random. I first got the God Fahim to be on that beat. I don't think he got a lot of beats to choose from, because I really heard him on that one. Yeah, it's much more dark. It's more like thug rap, quote unquote, in the sound, I think. Though it's from the same sort of material that I'm always sampling from, this kind of free jazz from the 60s and 70s. But yeah, it sounds like a very dark, very intense beat, I think. I first sent it to the God Fahim, and he sent the verse back super quickly. It was like, I don't know, a night later he had the track completed. And then when I contacted Billy Woods, I had like a lot of different beats for him to choose from. And I think he just enjoyed the God Fahim's verse and wanted to hop on that track as well. So it was kind of him choosing to be on the God Fahim's song.
That's cool. Sorry about those technical glitches there.
Yeah, no
The
problem.
yeah, I am not surprised that the God Fahim knocked that out quickly. That
Yeah.
guy has like a billion albums under his belt. It's
True.
nuts. He
Yeah.
makes lots of music. That's crazy. Lots of music. That's cool. All right, so we go to that song to change the world. Mo Ruff, is that how you say his name? Can you tell us a little bit? I didn't know much about Mo Ruff. Can you tell us a little bit about this MC?
I remember him from the like early SoundCloud days. He had this beautiful EP. I think it was maybe like 7 tracks long. I don't remember the title right now, but it has just a photo of him in like a blurred image with these beautiful colors. And the music sounds the same. It's like this beautiful analog feeling to it. And he just sings and raps the same way he does on this album. And yeah, had a really unique voice back then. And he's collaborated with several of the other producers here in Oslo. So I wanted to reach out to him as well. So yeah, and he delivered great great verses in no time as well. So I hit him up for two tracks.
Dope. Yeah, he's dope. And then that goes into Quelle Chris. Did I say that right?
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
thought so. Dude, he's dope. Like his whole,
He's the best.
yeah, he's so, yeah, I just love his catalog, and he always makes really interesting music and good music. And the stand-up bass, I feel like I'm hearing stand-up bass on a lot of this, but on that song specifically, was that stand-up bass on that song? Was that played or was that sampled?
That's a sample as well. It's from an old Norwegian jazz record, actually. Yeah. So, and it was recorded at the Norwegian broadcaster in '68. And I work for the Norwegian broadcaster, so I was looking through the archives there, and I found this recording. And it turned out that a guy named Fredrik Lavik, who has a jazz label, he had reissued it and licensed it from NRK a few years back. So then I just contacted him, and he told me I could sample it and use that song.
Which makes me wonder about your other samples. Do you get those cleared? Are you
Some of
the
them,
some of
some
them?
of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious. Like, I asked some people, and they're like, "Ah, oh, I don't clear samples." And I've heard that there's producers that are like big time producers that don't clear samples. I'm like, wow, I would have figured they cleared samples, but I guess there's some producers just don't worry about it until someone comes
Yeah.
for them.
I worry about the ethics of it a lot. I really want to clear the samples. I want to be able to tell people about my source material, and I want to be able to tell the stories of these artists and kind of highlight them to a new generation. And then there's all these like ethical things about me sitting in a kind of nice apartment in Oslo and having a good living. And this music was made often in like yeah, out of suffering and bad times in the US or in an African country, or yeah. So I really want to be able to highlight the people that made the music. So that's something that I'll try to do in the future more and more.
So the sampling clearances, there's not it you have to contact the whoever owns that music, right? There's not like and there's no it seems like there's no laws around it. It's just like whatever that artist wants to do, like whatever they like. Because I was listening, I forget who it was. Oh, Tribe Called Quest. Digging in the Greats does a
Yeah.
excellent pot or YouTube channel, and he was talking about what album was it? Kick Can I Kick It, I think,
Yeah.
by Tribe Called Quest. And they didn't make a dime on it because the sample source, one of the samples in it, that artist said, "You can use it, but I'm gonna take 100% of
Yeah.
everything made."
It's the
So it's
Lou
like,
Reed track, I think. Yeah, he ends up getting 100% of the income on the album. Yeah, there's a lot of rules to it. It's not really allowed to use others' copyrighted material, but at the same time, it's impossible to follow it up, I think, with today's technology. And I don't think it should be as illegal as it is today, because it's like this beautiful aesthetic, and it's a really nice way to make new music. It's like making a collage or making a tribute to something that you love. So I wish it wasn't so strict, because that would allow me to be more open about what I'm sampling as well. Either if the original artists make money from it or not, but I would still be able to introduce people to them.
That would be super dope.
Yeah.
All right. From Mo Rough, we go to Peace, one of the first beats you made for this album. That's dope.
Yeah.
Young Morpheus, who I feel like lot of these MCs, like Young Morpheus, Logi, Ill Camille, especially, I feel like they are so perfect for this album. They just kind of have, like, it's, you know, it's 74 beats per minute. And, like, that's, I feel like, where they excel. Like, just kind of a, I don't want to say I don't care attitude, because it's not like they don't care, but it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's like Ghostface Killah on a beat. Like, he just does his thing. He doesn't care. He just, like, tramples the beat. And they do that, but in a more laid back way. And I feel like you chose MCs like that.
I absolutely did. I think so too. And the low tempo allows for some intricate rhyme patterns, I think.
Yeah.
And most of these rappers have pretty monotonous voices as well.
Yeah.
It makes them sound laid back and relaxed, I think, which suits the beats well.
Yeah. Suits him really well. I mix it up a little bit there, but track 12 is Count Your Blessings with Logi, and we talked about him a little bit.
Yeah.
He has an album. I can't remember. I know you like this album. He has an album with another producer. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Durant.
Yes. That is such a good album. I remember when I discovered that, I was like, whoa, where has this been? It's so good.
I think it's my favorite album from the last 10 years. I think it's such an impressive piece of work.
Yeah, what do you like about it? What impresses you about it?
I like each beat really well.
Oh my gosh. Sorry about that.
No problem. So I really like the production the way each sound of, or each beat kind of has the same sound, similar to this project, I think.
Yeah.
And he just tells a history almost of a day in his life trying to make money to pay his rent.
Yeah. Yeah,
and tells the story of his neighborhood and his friends and society in the same time.
Yeah, I feel like it's really profound and also really simple at the same time. If that makes sense, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's so good. All right, Count Your Blessings. Then we go to PGO with Oliver the Second and DJ Cali.
Yeah, right? Cali. Yeah.
I had an H in there. Sorry, DJ Cali.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Yeah, tell us about Oliver the Second.
Yeah, he's another great rapper. I've worked with him on several occasions earlier. Initially, we worked together on the Mind Games LP, and he was on two tracks there, I think. One with Jeremiah J, who's his cousin.
Okay.
And one with Ivan Av here in Oslo. And then he sent me actually one verse for the Mind Games album that we didn't end up using. And then I ended up taking that for the next album I put out, which was kind of like an outtakes album from the Mind Games sessions. And then I never got like permission from him to use the verse that ended up being the Mind Over Matter track on Out of Sight. So we had like this big falling out over that a lack of permission and me just putting it out anyway. So, we didn't really talk for a long time after that. And then I think he sent me a message a few months back, just like wanting to put it behind us. And he offered his apologies and I offered mine, and we wanted to work together again. So that became the PGO track. I think it's really, it's really touching to be able to work with him again. And it feels like a special track to me because of that story.
Yeah, yeah, that's dope, man. Also, towards the end of the album, Vuyo?
Vuyo.
Vuyo.
Yeah.
Which you did an entire, and that's who Dialogue, you did the album Dialogue with, which is another fantastic album. If you're just tuning in, go check out Dialogue. It's an impressive album as well. So that seemed like a very natural MC to have on this album.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Definitely. Love that song. Recuperating, another dope joint. And I just discovered Gabe Nandez.
Yeah.
He's dope.
He's incredible.
Really dope. Yeah. Yeah.
Really unique voice. And both him and Fly Anakin, it's like you can recognize their voices in 5 seconds.
Yeah. And I love Fly Anakin. That name alone, it's like Fly Anakin, such a great name. Is that the joint? I can't remember. I didn't get that far today to remember which one. Is that the song that has the sample that is also sampled in OC Jewel's album. Do you know what
Yeah,
I'm talking
that
about?
could be the one. Yeah, it's pretty
Oh,
used that sample. It's a Japanese classic.
I love it, man. I love it. Which made me think about, like, are there samples that you hear from, other hip hop albums where you're just like, you know what? I gotta use it. I gotta use that sample. I gotta see what my version will be.
Yeah, I know there's this rule that you're not supposed to use the same sample again.
Man.
But this just felt sort of, yeah, I mentioned earlier, if the sample sort of sounds like me, and this beat really sounds like me, I think. It has all the right elements. And yeah, after making it, it had to be on the album. And I know a lot of producers touch this. Jazzy Jeff had the beat with Mac Miller on, I think, as well. But I didn't know all of this until after I put out the album. Then I started going back in history. So, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know. Like there's beats, there's albums that I'm going back and listening to for the first time, like stuff from the 80s that I, didn't hear when I was a kid. And it's like, oh, I didn't realize they used that first or they sampled that first. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to hear it all. And
Yeah.
I feel like for me, the rule of thumb is first create, just stop having rules and just create music. And then the second thing I would say is, like, if the beat you make is either as good, better, or almost as good as the original, or the original person that sampled it, yeah, go for it. And I feel
Yeah.
like you did your thing here. Like, it's a different take on it. It's much, I feel like it's the when I heard it on OC's album, OC has a much more aggressive beats on his album. They're still pretty laid back, but the drums are like thumping a little more. And so I feel like you kind of took the sample to kind of almost like its original vibe, which is, very laid back, and it fits this album really well. So
Thank you so
don't.
much. Yeah, the 90s hip hop is often very like filtered and leaves more space for the drums. But in my music, the drums are always way back in the mix and the sampler. I like the sound of the 70s jazz, so I try to keep as much of the sound as possible. I just turn the brighter frequencies up because of the percussion that I mentioned.
It works well. And then the last song on the album, Holler Back, featuring Coolie High. Man, Coolie High is such a dope group.
Yeah.
What was it? How did you come across them, and how did that come about?
I've listened to them for decades, it feels like, since the Rhapsody days. And I think it was Ninth Wonder Productions who led me to them. And this feels like the kind of beats that Ninth Wonder would make as well.
For sure.
Yeah, I wanted to reach out to them and sort of recreate the kind of vibe that I know them for. So,
That's so, yeah. Is there anything on this album that we did not talk about that you're like, man, I want people to know this about this album?
yeah, there's this out of time part of the concept, which speaks to like the feeling of time running out on lots of societal and environmental and yeah, just issues that we're dealing with or not really dealing with today. Yeah, there's wars in Europe and there's the war in Gaza at the moment, and there's all kinds of issues where it feels like we should act sooner and yeah, prevent the time from running out. I think that's a big part of where what I wanted to express at least. Yeah, so that's a big part of it. And I like the like multiple meanings of the out of time phrase as well, since the sort of the album evolved from the tempo. So you could say that the music came out of the time signature or the tempo. So yeah, there's some layers to it that I hope people will think about when listening.
Yeah, that's really cool. When I was much younger as a kid, I mean, hip hop was kind of like always the thing I loved and loved to listen to. But my grandpa listened to a lot of jazz. And so as a young kid, there was some jazz I would listen to, just on the radio station or whatever. And I remember back then it was just music. Like it was just instrumental music. No one's rapping or singing. It's just like it sounded pretty cool. But then later on in life, I realized like, oh, there's stories in these, jazz songs and these jazz albums, and these jazz artists are, telling stories through the music. And so it got me thinking about, what's coming up for you, which is the instrumental version of this album. And it got me thinking about what stories I'll hear when I just listen to the instrumental version of the album. And so it's really interesting to hear you talk about like kind of what stories you're trying to tell through the music about, all these and almost end of time type of things, like time's running out, wars and all this stuff. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that music, comes across when it's just stripped down and just the music and no MCs. So I'm glad that's coming out. And when is the instrumental version coming?
I think it's in the middle of June, and we're dropping
Nice.
new instrumental tracks each Friday. So a few hours from now, there will be a new one up on Spotify and streaming services.
Nice.
And yeah, there's all kind of stories from the kind of the music that I'm sampling. I know there's a lot of like people speculate on the samples that Dilla used, for example. Like, what was he trying to tell with the Donuts album? Based on the song titles that he chose and the album titles and the years he sampled from and things like that. So there's a lot of these lots of these stories on 74 as well.
That's dope. And I'd be remiss if I didn't shout him out. I talked about earlier. There's a YouTube channel called Digging in the Greats, not the Crates, but the Greats, Greats of all time. Digging in the Greats. And he does a video on donuts about all the special meanings and hidden meanings and stuff like that. It's really good. So I encourage all the listeners to this episode to go check that out. Well, I can't wait for the instrumental version. I hope I don't mess around and not order the vinyl. I'm a CD guy, and I think the day you release it, I was like, "Yo, is there gonna be a CD?" But I think I'm gonna go. I like vinyl too, but it's just, it's not as practical when kids are running around breaking stuff and breaking needles and stuff. So, anyway,
Yeah, I can see that.
but if you don't have the vinyl and you're a vinyl head or you have vinyl, make sure you all go get it. It's super dope. If not, go to the Bandcamp and buy the album. Super good. It's called 74. Out of Time by Ol Burger Beats, OL Burger Beats. So make sure you add that to your collection. And while you're adding the album to the collection, you can also add, we have decks of cards that are branded with the album. There's a tote bag that you can get. What else? I can't remember. What else are you selling
I think
with the
there are
brand?
t-shirts and long
T-shirts.
sleeves and hoodies and caps, multiple caps. There's all kinds of stuff.
And there's what do we call it? Slip
Yeah,
pads
slip mats.
for slip mats. Yeah, man. So it looks fresh. Like it's got a very fresh, like simple, like less is more kind of feel to it. It's got like the little off-white with the little color just kind of speckled in. It's a cool vibe. So make sure you go get some merch. And that merch can be found at
Coal Mine Records webpage or on Bandcamp,
there we go.
oldburgerbeatsbandcamp.com.
Cool. Earlier in the show, you said that this album was many, many years in the making. So I'm curious, is there an album or two that you're currently working on now?
Yeah, there are always many albums that I'm working with. I think later this year there will be an album featuring only Norwegian samples.
All
So
right.
that feels unique as well. Just digging into the Norwegian, like dance music and folk music and things like that. So, yeah, that's sort of like a sample tourism thing that I really, really enjoy working on. And I think there will also be a 74 remix project where I take each track and sort of recreate it. And yeah. That's the things I can come up with right now. But I always have a handful of projects that I'm working on.
Right on. Very cool. Very cool. Well, anything else you want to say about what's coming up or the album 74?
No, I think that's cool. You should check it out. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out, y'all. It's a great album. 74 Out of Time. Go get it. All right. So we always like to highlight albums that we know you like that have inspired you with a little something we like to call one word. And so I'll show you the album cover and then invite you to respond to it using one word or less. All right.
Wow.
Let's see if you can do it. See if you
Okay.
can do it. All right. We just got a few here. The first one is The Unseen by Quasimodo.
Innovation, I would say.
Innovation. Heck yeah. I feel that. Do you remember when you heard this for the first time?
I remember hearing Quasimodo for the first time on the Lutepack project.
Oh yeah.
Thinking it was a little girl or something. I just couldn't imagine the person rapping like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, digging into his catalog and understanding that it's actually Madlib who's rapping.
Right, yeah.
Like analogly turning the pitch up and rapping over the pitch down beats and pitching everything back up again. It's yeah, it's so innovative to me.
Yeah, totally. I just love Quasimodo is just like reckless.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of like just reckless lyrics, but when it's done on purpose with the altering the voice, I just think it's hilarious. And it's this guy. It's this
Yeah.
guy that just doesn't care, He just does what he
Yeah.
wants, and it's just so, I don't know, it's just so fun. I mean, sorry, kids. I mean, he is he killing someone with a pitchfork there and throwing a
Yeah,
brick at him?
absolutely.
I just, it's just, it's, he's just reckless. He's just totally
Yeah.
reckless, and he has no regard for anything. And it's just like, yeah, hip hop. All right. I remember being in college, and I was at a friend's house, and they were playing "Come On, Feet." I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
It's like, man, that sounds dope. So anyway, all right. So that's The Unseen by Quasimodo. Next one, a little bit different. We got Marsburg by
Oh,
Rock
wow.
Marciano.
Minimalism or simplicity or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think his sound is so inspirational in the way that it's really stripped down.
Yeah.
It's just a simple loop, but it can still I still buy the instrumental version of this just to just to hear that one bar loop for 4 minutes. It's yeah, some of my favorite beats on are on this LP.
Have you ever thought why you enjoy a simple four-bar loop so much? Like,
Don't know. It allows
analytically. Oh, go
yeah.
ahead. Go ahead.
I think it allows me to think while listening, sort of mentally improvise over the beats. I grew up playing the piano, and I'm always like thrumming my fingers, playing some sort of melody in my
Yeah.
hands. So I think the simplicity of this music just allows me to add my own thoughts to it in a way.
Yeah. Have you kept up with his catalog over the years?
Yeah, I haven't heard the brand new album that he dropped a few days ago, but apart from that, I'm a big fan.
Yeah. I feel like his new one is very, it's almost not a return to Marsburg, but like I feel like it's very simple.
Yeah.
Even more simple than some of his previous albums recently. But anyway, you have to check it out. All right. Next album. This is very different from the previous two. This is The Love Below
Woo.
by Outkast.
Yeah, upbringing maybe.
Upbringing.
Yeah. What year did this come out? Was it like 2000 or 2006 or something?
Something
2005?
like that. I don't even remember. See if it says it on the CD here. 2000, 2000 something, three.
Okay.
I
Yeah,
think
at least
somewhere around there.
a lot of the hip hop albums that we're discussing, I had to like go back to from an older
Yeah.
perspective. But this album I actually listened to the day it came out, and I was so hyped for it.
Yeah.
I had heard Stankonia when that or a few years after that came out,
Yeah.
and I loved So Fresh and So Clean, and I loved Miss Jackson. I loved the like obvious like easy to like tracks from that
Yeah.
album. And then hearing, especially the Love Below, as a young listener who's getting more into hip hop, it was the perfect gateway into the hip hop that I'm liking today, I think. It's like a perfect combination of jazz music and soul music and songwriting and rapping and free jazz saxophone and yeah, everything that I kind of grew up with combined into the same album. So I love this.
Did you hear his flute album?
I love the flute album as
Oh, do you
well.
like the? I haven't heard the whole
Yeah.
thing, but that's
I
cool.
think it's amazing. It's like Brian Eno.
That's
Yeah,
dope.
but you can't go into it expecting to hear an Outkast album.
It's not, I mean, it's not hip hop. It's kind of like meditative spa music or something. I don't know how you describe it. But I say, hey, but people, social media, like I said, it can be terrible, but make what you make. Make what you want to make. Like, and that's what he did. I appreciate it. And maybe I don't like it, but what is he supposed to do? Call me up and get my okay to make music first? Like, people need to get over themselves and just let people be. All right, last one of the night. I think we say the best for last, personally, but that's just because I think he's the greatest producer of all time. Anyway, this is Welcome to Detroit by Jay Dilla. See if we can find him in here. Here we go. Yeah, there he is. Don't there he is right there.
Nice.
Dilla. Yeah. Welcome to Detroit. One word.
Yeah, maybe concept or conceptual or something like that. Yeah, I actually talked about this album in a podcast episode a few days back, for the Next Movement podcast.
Dope.
And yeah, I'm really inspired by the way he just uses this full album to introduce people to his hometown. Digs through all kinds of different genres from his upbringing and from his contemporary music scene and the kind of rappers that I grew up with and worked with at the moment. And also just introduces people to the music that he's listening to. And yeah, it feels like both a personal album and like a geographically limited album, which is really cool. It's a great concept, I think. And although he digs through like African music and Brazilian music and Detroit techno and gangster rap on the same album, it all sounds like Dilla. It's all very electronic, synth-based, minimal sampling. Yeah, it's a super impressive album and one that's it still sounds impressive today, I think.
Yeah, agreed. And even though I'm not a huge fan of everything he rapped about or Slum Village rapped about, I feel like he was one of the illest on the mic in how he delivered lyrics. He just, and all three of them, like the original Slum Village, they were so creative, and they weren't Pharrell Monch or Eminem or anything like that, but it was just like the way they delivered their lyrics. I wanted to listen to it again and again and again because they were just like an instrument on top of the other instruments, and it just, I don't know, it just felt right.
Yeah, I agree
Rhythm
100%.
rhythmically.
And that's the way I listen to rap as well. I get into the voices and I get into the cadence and the flow, and the lyrics is like way down the line from things I listen
For sure. Cool. Well, thanks for playing one word. You passed the test. So
to.
congratulations. Well, listen, this is a hip hop show, so we always end it with shout outs, giving shout outs. So I'll give a few shout outs here and then I will turn it over to you to do the final shout outs of the night. Sound good? All right. Well, definitely want to shout out my crew, my man Profound, who's usually here, but it was just too early in the day for him. Iomass Marad, doing his thing, getting his professional collegiate stuff on. So shout out to Iomass, my man, Big Sto, Joe November, Bo Brown. Shout out to all y'all. Shout out to jazz music and just all the incredible music that has come before hip hop, that hip hop has looked to for strength of inspiration and retelling old stories and mixing with new stories. So shout out to that. And just shout out to hip hop as well in general. So much good hip hop right now that's coming out. Last Friday, I felt like 8,000 good albums came out. So a lot of good stuff out there. So shout out to all the artists out there making good music and everyone that's following us on Everybody's Hip Hop on our Facebook, Instagram, and all that. Really, really appreciate y'all following along with us and building some community together. Appreciate you all. And finally, shout out to you, Oberger Beats. Thanks for making such great music that I love, and being such a student of the craft, and just getting better and better and putting out really dope projects. So shout out to you. And with that, I'll turn it over to you for the final shout outs of the night.
Thank you so much. And shout out to you as well. Thank you for
Thanks, man.
inviting me to this. And yeah, I want to shout out Coal Mine Records for putting the album out. And I want to shout out each of the contributors to 74. There's tons of rappers and jazz musicians involved. I want to thank everyone that I sampled for the project. Either they know it or they don't. It's still so important to this genre of music and the music that I'm trying to create. And I want to shout out to my family and friends and music colleagues here in Norway. Yeah, and shout out to you if you're listening to my music. If you don't, please do.
Excellent, excellent. And on that note, as always, we say peace, peace,
Peace.
peace, peace.